Currently, our normal everyday diet of stories in the media ranges from stories about President Trump banning transgender people from joining the military, to Al Gore re-entering the climate change debate with a new film, to the Canadian currency's surge, to the Republicans' failure to appeal Obamacare, to the very Canadian origins of the Hawaiian pizza. These are all important stories in themselves, but have you ever thought, has any story you have ever been told, a story which might point to God working in our world? I believe I heard one story a number of years ago, the story of the release from captivity of a woman called Ingrid Betancourt, a French Colombian presidential candidate who was kidnapped by FARC on the 23rd of February 2002, and who was then rescued by Colombian security forces 6.5 years later, on the 2nd of July in 2008. In an interview some time after her release, Betancourt recalled how she was able to survive those years of captivity, how she woke every morning at 4 a.m. to pray, how she would listen every day to her mother's message on the radio, and how she would listen sometimes twice daily to the BBC World Service. She listened so attentively to those voices on the BBC, she believed that she knew each one of them individually. And in some strange and in some inexplicable way, this gave her hope in the most hopeless of circumstances. Something as ordinary and as familiar as a radio commentator's voice gave Ingrid Betancourt hope for the future. Something so ordinary and familiar that for the rest of us could be so easily overlooked. The parables that Jesus told us were parables like that. Stories about ordinary things that encourage us to listen for what God is saying in the midst of our lives. But when we listen to a parable, can we always understand what we hear? Do we always get the message of that parable? For instance, in our text that Rhonda read to us today, the text tells a story of a farmer scattering seed with reckless abandon, it seems, but nonetheless giving it the opportunity to grow. Whether it falls in a path or on stones, among thorns or in good soil. I agree with Anglican priest Rosalind Brown when she says this parable is striking in the incredible ordinariness of the story as Jesus told it. She continues, if we put ourselves in the shoes of that crowd, what they heard was a story about a farmer doing something they would be very familiar with, sowing seed in his field, scattering it all over the soil, regardless of its quality, so that some seed ended up on the path, among thistles or on rocky ground. It was all remarkably ordinary, she said. The people would have seen it happen for themselves, so in a sense there was no punchline to the story as Jesus told it. It was just an account of everyday farming life that ended with a variable harvest and some patches of land yielded absolutely nothing. It's as ordinary a story that you and I might tell about the things we would see on a road trip through that beautiful farmland of the eastern townships. Just a story about farmers and beautiful countryside. And with that crowd, we might well ask, so what? What is the point to this story? Do we understand what we hear? What special meaning are we to take from a story about a farmer sowing seed with reckless abandon? Professor Beverly Gaventa asks similar questions to these. She believes that parables in general leave space where more questions are asked than are left unanswered, than are actually answered. She's saying that parables give us more questions than we can ever answer. They are a mechanism to ask questions. For instance, she notes, Jesus begins by calling for the crowd's attention and ends it with another admonition to listen. While little in this parable allows us to know what we are to hear, we are called to listen, but we don't have many clues that direct us as to know what we are to hear. Insightfully, she observes that the retelling of the parable, the second part in verses 18 to 23, introduces the theme of understanding. For instance, she draws us to the fact that in the passage between the two tellings of the parable, Jesus points out that while the parables are not for outsiders who do not understand, the disciples, on the other hand, are blessed with eyes and ears that function as they should. The disciples have eyes and ears that function as they should to understand. Verse 16, between the two readings of today. But does this understanding mean that the disciples have all the answers to all the questions raised by this parable? Gaventa states, probably not. No, they don't have the answers. In this context, she believes that understanding has less to do with having the right answers, checking things off a list, than it does with being willing to continue to listen. Being willing to continue to listen. She says this because later in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus' disciples recklessly abandon him in, I quote, a way that suggests that they do not have the right answers. Even after the resurrection, some of them were said to doubt. We know all about doubting Thomas. To doubt even what they saw. Even though they had journeyed with Jesus for 3 years, they didn't fully understand the experiences they had had. And we have many episodes throughout the Gospel and the other Gospels where it is clear to the reader that the disciples' responses to Jesus' teaching suggest that they didn't understand what he was teaching them. And the point that Gaventa is making is this. While the disciples' understanding was limited, they still persisted in listening for, in her words, the words of the parabler, the words of the storyteller. It is this notion of still listening for the words of the parabler, while not fully understanding the words. This might give us some assurance and some hope. It might help us rest with the many unanswered questions we have of this parable in particular but of life in general. Probing, uncompromising, puzzling questions, Gavanta calls them. Probing, uncompromising, and puzzling questions. This insight might just help us to continue to listen to Jesus' words, even though we don't understand the reasons for the situations we find ourselves in. This might help us to continue to listen for Jesus' words, even though we don't understand the reasons why someone has treated us in the way that they have. It might just help us to continue to listen to Jesus' words, even though we don't have the answers as to why we or a loved one suffers, why we grieve, why we die in the way that we do. This might even just help us to continue to listen to Jesus' words in those times when we doubt that Jesus is even listening to us. And while we don't have all the answers to all the questions posed by this and many of the other parables, may we all continue to listen to Jesus' words as we struggle with the many unanswered questions we have in our own lives, in the hope that possibly one day we might be able to understand. But even if that day never comes, may we continue to listen simply because, as Brian Horfendahl says, in the face of widespread incomprehension, when he was crucified by opportunists and thorns enough to crown a crucified sower, Jesus believed. Jesus believed enough. Jesus believed enough to continue. Even when Jesus was about to be crucified, in his doubt, in his abandonment, he continued to believe enough, enough to go on. May we also believe enough, enough to continue to listen to the words of Jesus, whether we understand them or not, whether we find answers to our questions or not. And why? Because that seems to be enough. May it be so, because it's to Father, to Son, and to Holy Spirit that we give praise and glory, both now and indeed forevermore. Amen.